Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use, and
YouTube.com/postwrestling. Hello, postmarks. Hello, Up Nextperts. Hello.
Friends.
Friends.
NXT friends. And boy, hey, it's not even just NXT friends. It's wrestling friends.
Wrestling friends, because it's wrestling Christmas this weekend.
Playoffs, it's the finals, it's the Christmas, it's everything rolled into one. It's WrestleMania weekend, and we are here to stand.
And deliver.
Not quite pretty deadly.
You can tell it's earlier in the day, because I'm so much more chipper right now.
Right.
On this WrestleMania Saturday. Talk to me tomorrow after Gabby's, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Welcome to the Stand and Deliver post show here on the Post Wrestling feed. Go to postwrestling.com for all the updates of everything going on this crazy week, especially John Away doing both nights of WrestleMania. Looking forward to that. Shout out John Cena and his recommended match listings.
Oh, yeah.
As well, doing the Lord's work there.
We've been seeing all the people in the Post network having multiple screens up, trying to review two shows simultaneously whilst writing reports. Like, power to them.
Different streams, different wrestling, people going to all sorts of things. And it's crazy. So happy wrestling wherever it is you are or whatever it is you choose to watch this weekend. And we're going to dive into some NXT Stand and Deliver. We watched a show at 1 p.m.
I kind of liked it, to be honest. I don't know how I'd have felt about getting up at like 8 a.m. to travel to the Crypto.com arena to watch it at 10 a.m.
So it would be 10 there, right?
It started California. At 10. Wow. And then, so think, if you're like getting ready, you want to allow enough time, LA traffic, like it's, you're probably leaving, you're getting up at around 8 after a heavy night on the Hollywood Strip, maybe the night before.
That's so tough. That's really rough.
And like, I think there were times when this crowd did seem a bit tired, which is completely understandable. I've done these WrestleMania weekends. I'd have probably gone to the ROH show yesterday and had a few bevvies as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have been a little tired. But they woke up at times in this, especially a certain couple of matches we're going to talk about. A pretty impressive gate, I think, for this kind of, you know, since we've entered this 2.0 era of NXT and it looked pretty full there at Crypto.com.
It looked pretty full, like everywhere, kind of what I've been watching so far. We'll jump into some NXT because we're going to cover the whole show that just happened. We will be watching both nights of WrestleMania at our sold out WrestleMania watch party. Yeah, that's two nights.
We sold out, baby.
You know, people say the BDE, they're sellouts. Mm. You're damn right we are, because we sell out every GD bar we Everything throw an we event do. At. Yeah.
Yes, we are sold out for both nights. If you are in the area and wanting to come along,
don't.
We may have some availability on the door. We do have a pretty nice heated patio, which will be showing the event with sound on. So come along and we'll try to figure out a spot for you. But as of this moment, we are completely sold out for
these events. I accept payola.
Payola?
Yeah, you want in? We could talk. All Give right. me a number. I'll Tony D'Angelo and let people in.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's working the door.
I can see tomorrow it's like some of the servers being like, well, this guy didn't order anything and didn't tip. I'm like, all right, what was his name? Refund. All right. You want to come? Yeah, come on down.
So we're going to be watching WrestleMania downtown Toronto. Follow our socials. Maybe it's too late. You're listening to this a few days removed, but you should go follow our socials anyways, because at PoisonRanaPod on Twitter, Instagram, for all the updates, we'll post some fun stuff. We're going to have trivia games and giveaways, so we'll kind of document it and let you people maybe play along at home. I know Davey's come up with some crazy trivia and stuff. We'll eventually post once the games are kind of over, so it's fair. But
absolutely, yeah.
We have multiple replica titles to give out, some crazy prizes. It's going to be nuts.
I'm so looking forward to it. This weekend, like, I woke up pretty early this morning. I know you went to your Shrek rave last night, and I just said, Brian, have fun, but, like, you're coming with me at 10 a.m. this morning.
I was responsible, yeah.
So, you were. But I woke up, and I did feel a little tired, had my coffee, but I feel excited and energized. It is like getting up early Christmas morning.
Yeah, I purposely knew, like, coming home, like, 1:32 is early for like especially a Shrek rave.
Yeah.
But I got my Shrek rave in and I was very responsible. I went to far, far away and decided to come back to my swamp. And then I managed to check out some of the other wrestling, but there was a lot. Like, we watched some Ring of Honor before. I don't know if you watched the whole show.
I watched the whole of Ring of Honor last night.
I watched it with you up until after that ladder match. Dante Martin breaking his leg, and then I said, I gotta go.
Oh, man. It's one of those things where I don't want to see it, but I can't stop watching it. Like, man, that's so unlucky. And it's actually quite amazing that these crazy ladder matches we've been seeing over the last few years, where they keep on upping the ante, that we haven't had more accidents like this. And you would think something like that must go through some of these ladies' heads who are in the ladder match tonight, just going,
absolutely,
like, yeah, man, that was devastating. And what a rough break this team's had. I mean, Darius had one injury, came back, and right away was off again. And now Dante Martin as well. Like, it's a shame for these guys.
Yeah, sending all the good vibes to those guys. But that was pretty nasty. There was some pretty nasty bumps going all throughout the weekend of wrestling. And it's not even over yet. Like, there's Kota Ibushi's back. So, you know, necks are getting cranked, geez, and heads are getting bopped and all sorts of craziness. So I do want to catch up on, like, a bit of everything. So... here's a plug for Monday. Follow us on the Poison Rana feed. We're going to go live some point to be determined Monday, depending on how we feel.
We'll put out a post once we're awake and alive for a determined time. Yes.
Yeah. Go over to us. We have a podcast feed called Poison Rana, and it's also on YouTube. And we'll go live and put the audio up on that feed as well. Kind of giving some thoughts of everything.
The whole weekend.
Yeah. WrestleMania, the indie stuff, everything. Vikingo, all sorts of fun stuff.
And if you are watching this live on Post Wrestling right now, we do have a feedback thread open for Stan and Deliver. If you go to the Poison Rana group on Facebook, just search Poison Rana, search for the frog, you'll see the frog, join the group. You can leave your feedback for today's show. We are also accepting super chats as well. So if you want to leave any feedback in the YouTube room via super chat, please feel free to do so.
Especially if the super chats are about pheromones from DDT.
All right.
And I loved that show.
I clearly haven't seen this DDT show yet.
Yeah, you have to.
Right.
Yeah, you have to. People are talking. We're going to go live on Monday as well there. But so poisonron.ca for links for all the other stuff that we do. Because, we cover NXT. We'll be live again on Tuesday night. We cover NXT every week, but we do a lot of other stuff over on our Poison Rana feed. So go check that out. But let's stand and deliver.
Let's do it.
Here today, let's talk about some NXT. Don't call it a takeover, but... it's their first big show outside of their little arena in Florida for quite a long time. So this is a pretty big deal. WrestleMania weekend.
And I'm trying to think. This is the first NXT show full stop in Los Angeles, no? We never had a TakeOver Los Angeles.
TakeOver LA.
So, yeah, it's
nice.
Pretty big as well.
That's pretty cool. So we actually had a bit of a pre-show. Yeah. I figured we might have to put a match on some sort of pre-show.
It made sense, yeah.
And it made sense to move the Chase U Schism multi-person match here.
The ownership of Chase University.
I didn't realize that they would do this. So as I tuned in, like, the entrances were just kicking off. So we were still like getting settled in and I still managed to watch this, but I didn't take like extensive notes on it. But the real story is what we all kind of were wondering what was going to happen if Duke Hudson were to turn on Chase U, and he made it seem like he made his choice.
He even put the t-shirt on.
But then he did his best Big Show impression and then swerved us again on the swerve and
ripped the shirt off, attacked Schism from behind.
Yeah.
And Chase U with the win here.
Yeah, so Chase U keeps the U.
I think what I found really fun with this is we've been quite high on this Chase U faction and
Chase
story
U.
And something that sounds ridiculous. It is ridiculous, but I think they've done a really good job. And I think actually kind of pretty much all these matches have been built pretty well for quite a while on this show. And this was one of them, as ridiculous as it is. And it was cool to see that this crowd as well are clearly on the same page as us, because Chase U got a phenomenal reaction in this. When the turn, not turn eventually happened, the pop was huge. And then everyone getting in on the give me a C, give me an H,
yeah,
as all four of them. So it was Tyler Bate, Thea, Andre and Duke were all doing the stomps down. It was cool to see that this does translate beyond just the CWC.
Right. Yeah. Like the other characters, not just some of the bigger
names. Because it
names,
has been a thing. We've been following NXT a long time, and you've seen characters like Emma comes to mind, who was such a fan favorite in that Full Sail setting. And then as soon as she went outside of that, people just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And that is something that can be a problem when you're playing to the same people every single week. They are going to have their favorites and doesn't necessarily translate. Chase, you clearly did tonight.
Yeah.
Today. This
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, tonight. This a.m. Yeah. It's also interesting because Ava Rain, or Ava, as the kids say, Young Rock, the Pebble here, kind of making her debut. It wasn't just a one move kind of thing. She was moving around there with Thea was just on one tonight. She must have had a lot of coffee this morning, this a.m., as we said. But
Thea Hale definitely strikes me as a morning person.
Yeah, absolutely. Or just insane. But, you know, Ava, this for just showing up here, I think going forward, like, I would like to see more.
And a good kind of match to put her in as a debut. Because
yeah,
she could show what she was good at, but be hidden enough with the multi-man kind of stip.
But The Rock's daughter loses her first ever televised match.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view match. But still, I think she looked good, so for what it's worth. I don't think the schism's over. Still, I'd be interested to see Tyler Bate, who's just randomly now.
No, what are they going to try and get now? The bar? They'll try and get Gallus's bar, I guess.
Turn it into a emo bar.
Yeah.
Which sounds pretty cool. It's because those are the bars that we usually go to. So.
Yeah. Yeah, turn it more into bovine. I prefer it over Big Daddy's, I think.
We start off, though, the actual pay-per-view, Stand and Deliver, PLE, with the Women's Championship Ladder Match. I actually, because, again, the pre-show was on, am I crazy, or did Zoe Stark just have her entrance before the show started?
They do this sometimes, yeah, especially when it's multiple people. They kind of do some of the entrances during the pre, and then I thought they had Tiffany open the show and then Roxanne. So they had most of their like main players coming out after.
So this match is, well, if you've been following the story, it's been following how Roxanne was the champion, and then she got beat up by Mako Satomura, who's not in this match for reasons. And then basically this week, she may or may not have been in the same room as Shawn Michaels and may or may not had an actual conversation with him that basically said, no, I'm not stripping the title. I'm not getting rid of the title. I'm in the match. And that's why she's still here
tonight. I've been battling anxiety, and that's why I collapsed. But I want to prove to people out there who are going through the same that you can conquer your demons and overcome this.
So here she has to conquer five other women, meaning Roxanne taking on Gigi Dolin, Lyra Valkyria, Tiffany Stratton, and Zoe Stark in a ladder match. And we get some fast-paced action pretty quickly with Roxanne hitting like a tope early on here. Lyra does this like suplex onto a ladder. They're all women are going after each other and just attacking. They set up ladders in the different corners of the ring here. There's a pretty cool looking like 2-for-1 spot where Tiffany gets hit with a blockbuster as she's like guillotining, I think Indy it was, while all three people, all iterations were like doing different things here. Zoe does a monkey flip and Lyra like lands on her feet and starts climbing the ladder. That was pretty impressive as well. The bird lady can fly.
Can kick as well. Yeah. I was actually really impressed with Lyra in this match. I thought her kicks looked awesome.
Eventually, Tiffany and Roxanne are fighting on the top of the ladder, trying to grab the title. And it's Indy who knocks Tiff and Roxanne off of it. Gigi picks up a ladder and does the Terry Funk or Bubba Ray spot with the ladder.
The helicopter.
This looked a little too, it's too scary. So I understand, but like, it looks really clunky because you don't want to actually get hit by this thing. So everyone, you're just running and falling, essentially. It just doesn't look as good as when like you get hit like a clothesline. But I understand because if you do get hit by this, it's bad news. But it looks still funny. And shout out Terry Funk. Zoe hits a crossbody to Lyra while she's like upside down here onto the ladder, which was, again, like sandwiching her here. Tiffany sets a ladder on the ground in the ring and does the like fireman carry senton. You can't escape, essentially, on Gigi onto the like ladder again. Very deadly.
So painful. Yeah.
Squishing her there. Zoe hits the Zoe to sleep, as we call it, the Z80 or whatever it is called.
Zoe go around, whatever it is.
Yeah. And then there's the pop rocks from Roxanne. So everyone's just firing off finishers and spamming their moves here, where Gigi finally has Lyra up and then throws her off the ladder. And she went flying off this thing. Like, that was pretty like high up. And
Tiffany?
It was Lyra who went like just eating it. But Gigi then has the spot after throwing her off. She throws the bird lady. She climbs up. Gigi grabs the title, but someone else climbs the ladder. JC Jane, who it's like Gigi's seen a ghost as JC shoves her off and she goes flying off the ladder. And I thought JC was just going to grab the title and claim the title, but she did not.
Questioning since they've sort of said JC Jane's injured, whether it is a legit injury, because I haven't seen anything online about her legit being hurt, and I think maybe the injury angle was an excuse for her losing that match to Gigi. And obviously her arm wasn't in a sling or anything here, and doing a spot like this, I imagine she's ready to come back. So I question whether it was ever a legit injury.
Yeah, fair enough. She looked fine here. JC does not grab the title, but she climbs back down, allowing Tiffany to have the open advantage here. She climbs up, and then she just gets thrown off by Indy Hartwell here.
This is like the Sammy Guevara bump, essentially doing a swanton to the floor.
Yeah.
Barely got caught here. Like, it was a hell of a
onto
fight.
Everyone, right?
Yeah, onto the three on the floor, and just kind of goes through the middle and takes quite a back bump from quite a height. Hope she's okay. This looked kind of rough.
Right on the
great,
back.
But look, painful.
Yeah, you could see she was screaming, so I hope she's all right. But Tiff eating that, earning her reps here. But this leaves Indy all alone in the ring, but she's feeling gas. She's looking up to the title, but she's just like, oh, I can't do it. And out of the corner of our screen, Dexter Lumis appears out of nowhere. He slides his head into the ring underneath Indy, and she sees him, and he gives her the thumbs up. He turns around, puts Indy right on her shoulders. It's like Rhino and Edge and Christian from WrestleMania 17. And he climbs up the ladder with Indy, helping her as she pulls down the title. Indy Wrestling is Indie champ here, finally, in NXT, but wow.
Yeah, I have a kind of mixed feelings about this match.
Yeah.
I thought some spots were really cool. I find in general with the women's ladder matches, because they're so much smaller than the men, a lot of these spots look a lot more painful when they're taking the backdrops and like those sentons and things on the ladders. It looks a lot rougher. I thought Lyra looked really good in this. I thought the indie stuff was great. I thought Dex coming out, it got a great reaction from this crowd. We've been saying forever, like, what are you going to do with indie now?
Put them back together.
She's felt such a nothing for so long. She's been in NXT for so long. And I think this is maybe a bit of an injection of life she needs. And I think most fans of NXT are kind of like, indie deserves it. I just don't really like it's at the expense of Roxanne Perez, which has essentially been a bit of a nothing title reign. And I imagine this is, it feels to me like one of those, oh, plans change, kind of, you know, you had Viking Raiders win the tag titles and then suddenly they're like, oh, actually they're going up to main roster, so they drop it. Karrion Kross wins the NXT championship for a second time and then they're like, ah, actually we want him on Raw, so you're going to drop it to Joe, who's then going to vacate it. It kind of feels like that. This whole Roxanne story, will she, won't she compete, didn't really work for me. I see what they're trying to push maybe as a character, and I can only expect maybe she's just going to go up to the main roster. Because it's odd to have, you know, a baby face come back from injury to lose to a baby face. If this was Tiffany standing tall at the end, yeah, like, okay, so we're now going for Roxanne chasing Tiffany. I don't see Roxanne chasing Indy for this title.
Yeah, I think Roxanne's, I guess, time is up. And yeah, make, you know, Raw after Mania, or I don't know, something.
And putting her in this kind of match makes her feel a bit of an afterthought by the end of it. It's like, oh, just Indy's the title champion now.
Yeah, I have thoughts about this match too. I think it's really great seeing all these talented women in a ladder match, which we don't see women usually do this gimmick match, at least still in NXT. Like, we've seen a few, like we said, like the one-on-ones and stuff, but this is pretty cool. I would say, because maybe some of them are still, it's NXT, that doing a ladder match does like kind of expose certain things, mm-hmm, and it kind of got a little sloppy and miscommunications and stuff like that, but that's the part of the gimmick, I guess. But I love that Indy finally got like her flowers, because I love Indy as well, and I'm so happy that they just went, yeah, let's just use Dexter again, because how, like, again, you said it, we've been saying it for so long, it makes so much sense.
I don't
and
think
it's cool.
It's a permanent thing though.
No, but like, you know, why not? But I see potentially she's still going to lose this title to Tiffany.
Something I really liked in this as well, I mean, yeah, Indy and Tiffany have been feuding as well, haven't they? Something I really liked, which you don't often see in ladder matches, was Roxanne constantly was trying to run up the ladder. She's like, I've got enough energy, I'm going up. She's not doing the slow climb. And even Indy at the end, when a lot of the time it's people just, oh, I'm just going to climb slowly, I thought her selling was really good. She started to climb and then she was just gassed and kind of fell off. And then she's clutching her ribs and she's panting, like trying to get the breath to like to muster it to climb up when Dexter came out. So I actually thought both of them, because it is something I groan at a lot of the time at ladder matches. Why aren't you climbing? Why are you so slow? Yeah. And I believed that she was so spent that she couldn't actually climb at that point.
Yeah, it's a stip that's like been played out.
How many times did we watch that ROH ladder match?
Exactly.
Yesterday, we're like, why aren't you grabbing the title? Why are you making a contraption right now? Climb. Why are you putting the ladder there? Like, why?
Yeah.
Climb faster. I've seen you run ropes. Why are you now slow climbing stairs?
It's true. Yeah. Again, they're great to watch and cool stuff, but I didn't mind this match. It was a fun opener. And again, Indy kind of given the nice, like, feel good moment with Dexter and Index. And
yeah,
this is the way.
This is the way.
Well, we went from that new champ to our next match, which is for the NXT tag team titles. It's a triple threat match for these tag titles. The champions, Gallus, Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang, defending against the Creed brothers, Brutus and Julius Creed. And then the family of Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stax Lorenzo. Mm. I feel like Tony D and Stax got the only real like big entrance here, because they come out and there's like different mob people with them. Mm. So it looks like there actually is like, you know, like a family or whatever. Like, what does he say? Johnny down by the docks or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And
Gallus, what are you talking about? Gallus in the pub.
Gallus is so weird. It cuts to them, like, clearly, like, what, at their same pub, so they pre-tape this, and it's just them at the bar sitting down and being like, hey, ready for this fight? Yep. All right. And then their music hits and they come out.
They could have made it more funny. Like, if you had maybe on their way out, someone tries to start a fight with them and they smash a glass over their head and then walk out or something like that. But it was just this, like, is this bar part of the performance center?
Because they have a bar in it.
Well, no, sorry, not like this bar is a traveling bar, because they managed to make it from this bar in Florida to Los Angeles in seconds.
Yeah, I've been actually getting into Gallus. Like, fair play, but we weren't sure if they're like baby faces or heels. Mm. So here, their entrance is like, hey, we're the bar guys. We're Bruiser.
They were certainly baby faces on Tuesday as well.
By the end of it, not so much. No. It's like you could have done a little bit something more creative. Like they're leaving. They're just backstage having a pint, and they walk by, and you like see someone else there, right? You don't know who that is. And then it may kind of leads into later on, and then it kind of cements it. But just kind of a weird like. It's WrestleMania weekend. I thought the entrances, I was expecting a bit more, but...
Yeah, no one really had a big entrance on this show. I think they wanted for, like, the dynamic of this match to be three babyface teams going at it. Because it could then be, like, a... Well, it was a pretty exciting match, I thought, but...
How we got here, remember, let's not forget. They just all got
drunk at the pub at this mystic traveling bar.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy's.
If you ever go to Florida, you got to check out the NXT Monopoly board of places.
I feel like it's maybe one of those doors that you just open and it's a portal to like this bar. So it can go everywhere.
You go from there to the barbershop, the parking lot. Obviously, we know about the parking lot.
Yeah, but you can go from this podcast to Gabby's.
Forbidden doors everywhere. Well, this triple threat tag team match, NXT rules, is three people in the ring at the same time. I think it makes more sense this way.
It's way more fun as well, I think.
Tony and Stax are really showing up here. They may have heard us say, hey, what happened to Tony? He's regressed because he was doing some actual wrestling to start off, which he hasn't done in a while.
Yeah, I thought both looked really good. But Tony, this is the best we've seen him in a while. Hit this like this X-plex, but twisting X-plex, which looked awesome. I'd love to see this more often from
him. He hits like this X-plex, like you said. And then there's like a back suplex jumping neck breaker combo from the fam, only for a near fall. However, when the Creeds start gaining momentum here, they start going ham. They send everyone to the outside and hit double moonsaults off the aprons to the floor, which was impressive. Brutus doing a moonsault. Very nice. This is when they show Daniel Cormier, who is in the front row, and they have a moment with him, like cheering them on. Imagine Daniel Cormier managing Diamond Mine.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be. He could be the talkers for them. This is when Brutus takes the straps off because he's hyped. And Julius opted for a gear change here. He's wearing just like shorts.
Well, he's so mad about how he looks on 2K23.
Yeah.
Because he's like, guys, I'm fucking ripped. Jacked. Look at me.
Yeah.
No more straps for Julius.
So he's just chest out.
Yeah.
But when Brutus went to take the straps off, I swear Julius went to do it too and was like, oh, man.
It's almost like, you know, when The Rock has already gone for the people's elbow once, but he still just minds it.
Yeah, it's great. So the Creeds are just like going nuts here. They're hitting all sorts of suplexes and German suplexes. I love it. Julius Creed, man, is on fire. I think he hits like five back-to-back belly-to-bellies. And while he's doing them, he's kipping up. And then does another one on someone else, and then does a kip. Like, this guy, Julius Creed, will be a WWE champion one day. Like,
if everything goes the right way, like, this guy is incredible.
Absolutely. There's then this crazy spot where he has two people on his shoulders on the outside.
So it was Stax and Mark, I guess?
Oh, man. I don't know how this guy did this.
Like, how's he not getting a hernia or something here?
And then Brutus goes for the Brutus ball. Kind of misses. But they all fall down.
To be, I think, like, it's still got a holy shit from this crowd. Such a shame that it was a graze, but I think
the angle,
when you're that high up, a graze would still knock you off. It's a shame he didn't fully get it, but just
the visual,
oh, you think from another angle?
I think, like, look, I work in TV with some experience. I think if they had it just a little different angle, it would have been fine.
Right.
But they didn't replay it because, you know, the producers were like, hey, let's look at all these. Oh, no, we didn't get
it. But I think from Brutus's point of view, he wants to connect because it's going to soften his landing.
Yeah.
You know, instead, he's just falling.
It's almost like he just likes to go boop.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that. But like, just the visual of
Julius having like
towers.
So one guy on his shoulders and then a guy on those shoulders. The strength of this was unbelievable. And even though it didn't fully hit, like, I was still blown away.
Yeah, me too. Back in the ring, though, somehow Tony D and Stax gain control, and they hit the bada bing, bada boom, which is like their new finish we've seen them use, like a swinging side slam. It's not that impressive.
Backdrop kind of thing.
But it's broken up here. And then when the Gallus boys are getting in control, we see someone interfere. We were asking, hey, where's the other coffee brother? We have Mark, but where's Joe? Well, the Iron Man, Joe Coffey, is here as he appears and, well, costs the Kree's the match here.
Well, Stax is going for the pin.
Yeah.
And he pulls Stax
gets him out of here, allowing the Gallus lads to hit their new finisher, that, like, fireman carry, running sick kick, spin-out helicopter thing. It looks
great.
It's pure Gallus. That's what I'm calling it, because this move looks great. And the Gallus boys are on top, as they say, because they retain the tag titles, standing tall with their leader, the Iron Man, back in control here. I mean,
this got boos from the crowd.
Is good.
And then Gallus were kind of playing it up, like, yeah, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Joe clearly got his visa issues fixed, I imagine, and Gallus moving forwards, I imagine, as heels, which kind of makes more sense.
Way more sense. And now that this unit is back as, like, the three, they're the champions of tag, but, like, having the two, they could do Freebird rule if they wanted to. But this unit versus Creed's and Braun,
yep,
is definitely would a match cool. I would like to see with the six guys there. But yeah, you know what? I really like this match. All six guys were really doing a lot of stuff. Like, Tony D was doing some wrestling. Stax, man. Stax is such a silly character.
Beautiful diving headbutt in this as well.
This guy in, like, a few years, Stax is going to do the Kofi Kingston and just forget. He's one day not going to be Italian. And they're going to be like, wait, weren't you in the mob? He's like, no. My name's Lorenzo.
I think Stax, probably the best thing that happened to him was Two Dimes getting fired. Because I think if it was just Two Dimes and Stax, they'd have been the lackeys, the kind of nameless lackeys.
Right.
Putty patrol for Tony D. Instead, with it just being a double act, they've had to give him more personality. And I think he has excelled in kind of the scenes we've seen backstage with Tony D. And he's been backing it up in the ring as well. We were saying on Tuesday, I think, I kind of feel this should have just been Gallus versus Creed's. I think this was actually a better match having Tony and Stax in there. I do love the format of these triple threat tags, having three in the ring,
yeah,
rather than the two and you tag anyone. It just means it's just nonstop. This was, like, really nonstop action, some really fun spots in there. I was impressed, and this definitely had my attention more than I thought it would.
And the Gallus guys being heels again makes things more interesting for the eventual Diamond Mine taking them back. Like, we need to get back on that track, and I think this does that. But the next time Julius has two guys on his shoulders, Brutus is hitting
he's
that ball.
He's got to hit that
ball. Yeah, we need that retribution. But I was into this. We go to our hosts. It's pretty deadly. They're both wearing some Elton John-inspired glasses and what, like, crushed blue suede and purple suede with puffy shirts hanging out of it. Total Austin Powers, Elton John look going on here. They're talking about how they're super excited about Stand and Deliver, and they're trying to get a word in for Braun Break with Braun, but they're too scared to knock on his door because, well, we've seen what happened
the last
time.
You already put him through a table.
Yeah. So they're excited, and they say maybe we'll talk to Carmelo later on. But we go to our next matchup, a definite match that had a lot of people's attention this weekend. The five-way, fatal five-way, for the North American Championship here. The champion, Wesley, defending against a debuting Dragon Lee, no relation, JD McDonough, Ilya Dragunov, and Axiom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so five of these guys going at it here. Dragon Lee, like I said, making his debut and has a sweet theme. This thing slaps, whatever this was.
One of the best themes. Like, I haven't been too high on the on the WWE themes of late, but
like, this right one away, first one, good.
And like giving him a pretty our feed kind of froze on
I don't
the
know
network.
If they slow mode his
they,
entrance.
They tried
or
to do some slow mo, and then I think it was on their end because the screen kind of froze, but then it showed like his stats, like how many when he started wrestling at 17 and all that kind of stuff.
It showed his like titles elsewhere,
yeah,
like New Japan stuff, and I thought that was kind of interesting as well. And if I'm not mistaken, they also mentioned the Rascals with Wes and stuff like that. So
okay,
kind of cool that there was some of that. But yeah, Dragon Lee kind of looking,
make him feel like a big deal coming in here.
Dragon Lee looking like pretty sweet. Yeah.
This felt like an old like NXT takeover debut. Like giving the guy the big entrance and putting him over as a star. This guy was a big deal elsewhere.
Yeah, the story going into this is Wes has been doing these open challenges, and everyone's been fighting over who wants to face him. So he decided he was allowed to pick these people. So he did. Axiom, for some reason, wasn't given the title shot, and then wins the Battle Royal, and here he is. So these five guys definitely had my my curiosity, and now they definitely have my attention. This starts off with like all five kind of staring at each other, and Wes is like, hey, why don't you guys fight? You guys hate each other. Like, go at it, because JD and Ilya have been feuding for what seems like forever. So they start about to go at it when Dragon Lee then gets involved and just walks up to JD and like forearms him, knocking him out instantly. I thought this was a great like start to the match. You did not see that coming. And then
it was a big like just punch almost.
Yeah.
It looked great.
I think it was Vic on the call who's like, yo, Dragon Lee knows how it works. You walk into your first day and you walk up to the baddest guy and smack
him. Like when
you're in prison. Yeah. Punch him in the face. Yeah. So people know. Things just break down right away, where all five guys are getting thrown in different iterations of guys are fighting. Ilya does the machine gun chops in the corner.
And like you had Wes right at the beginning being like, oh, Ilya and JD, you've got beef? Go at it.
And then looks at Axiom and Dragon Lee like, hey, you both look like luchadors. Why don't you guys?
You got it.
And then everything's just going nuts. JD does the like Joe walk-off spot to Wes, but Wes kind of lands on his feet and is like, you.
From the Conhilo.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then like goes after him. But then JD fights back and does an acai moonsault to everyone, which was very impressive. A Spanish fly inside. Ilya breaks up a pin by stopping the ref from counting, which was a nice little touch here. Eventually, JD keeps like breaking up everyone's pins. And when he's in the ring, everyone kind of stares at him and then attack him all at once. Like, pretty funny spot. Eventually, Dragunov just starts like hulking up here, just beating down everyone. There's Chop sending Wes down. Ilya goes Super Saiyan essentially here and just like hitting Germans. And the, like every time Wes comes at him, he chops him. And it's a chop where like Wes falls backwards or like goes, sells it like death. Eventually Axiom comes in here. He's hitting just nonsense, like crazy moonsaults to the outside. He does the one, like the Kenny one where you jump, sprint, like twist in the air and springboard.
Urihara.
Oh yeah. Man, it's nuts. These guys are going crazy. There's then, what is it? Dragon Lee does the like flying over to the air onto everyone as well. There's then, in the ring where Dragunov's like beating down, there's German suplexes. He does his like, the guy's already down, but he does like the falling forearm. It's like
to the back of the neck.
Basically, it's like a finish. And Wes breaks up this huge pin by hitting the spiral tap onto everyone. So everyone's down. Eventually, Wes goes for his handspring, like cardiac kick.
Flip flop fly or?
Yeah,
cardiac kick.
And in midair, he is super kicked by Dragon Lee, or is it Dragon Lee
Axiom,
or Axiom? Oh,
Axiom,
man.
Yeah.
This was spot on. And then Axiom's tangling with JD, and JD goes for the Devlin inside, but it's countered, and Axiom does the Rey Mysterio Halloween Havoc 97 springboard DDT reverse moonsault. Oh, man. This was nuts. But somehow it's broken up as well. And then as he's hitting super kicks with everyone, it's Dragunov who's going for his running headbutt, the torpedo.
Torpedo Moscow, yeah.
But while he's running, he's met by the cardiac kick from Wesley in midair. Great finish here.
But it was in such a way that I think the Torpedo Moscow still connected with JD. So it was like, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Like, the timing was perfect.
So everyone's down, Ilya's down, and Wes pins Dragunov and retains the North American Championship in a damn hell of a match.
Wow, this was incredible. I definitely want to go back and rewatch this one, because this just absolutely didn't stop. I thought all five guys were on point. It's like, normally I prefer singles matches, you know, especially for PLEs. Like, it feels like a proper big grudge. But I like that they went this route. I like that they didn't put a ladder in this match. And pretty much all of them have this, like elements of luchador, but also a lot of
submission, technician, striking.
Yeah, exactly. And it just was such a perfect match of five people. It felt like a video game. When we play 2K... one of our favorite matches to do is the five people. You do six and everyone just pairs off with each other.
Yeah.
You do five and there's
changes
always someone
the
who's free to break up falls. It's very hard to get a pin.
Yeah.
And this is what it felt like. Just like, I was absolutely blown away by this. I think Dragon Lee had an awesome debut. Any of you who've seen him before know how good this guy is. And I think he's going to fit right into NXT if he's in this mix of people. This was my match of the night, and I can't recommend it enough. If you're sleeping on NXT this weekend and you're kind of watching some of the other stuff, this is the match to cherry pick from this show.
Absolutely. This was nuts, man. All five guys here are some of my favorites to watch and definitely keep NXT afloat as like the workhorses. And I'm happy that these five guys got to shine. Cause everything hit for this. I really got into it. Definitely like one of the higher matches this weekend already going
out. The ones I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So great stuff. Wes retaining, which is cool. I actually think you could have went somewhere else with this, cause I just don't know where you would have went with Wes. So
I think Wes can have singles against all these guys moving forward.
I think Axiom should be the one to take it from
him. You can do that down the line. I think May is the next big event. It's only, I think he can hold it until then and maybe drop then, especially with the women dropping the title, changing the title in a multi-women's match. You're about to change the women's tag titles and the men's. I thought it made sense to keep this one on Wes.
Just, I love that you said like it wasn't a ladder match because it allows for way more like dramas and different things without doing
that. You end up having a match where people are trying to win rather than how can I jump off this thing?
Yeah, it works so well.
How can I hurt myself?
This is I know we had the obviously people talk about the SmackDown 6, but real ones know we had the NXT 6 back in the day. This is the new just five guys here. NXT 5 going forward. This,
absolutely.
These five guys running the company in a few years. Hell yeah.
You've got your Nathan Fraser as well. Put in this mix.
You know what? Honestly, he could have been in this because he had a hell of a showing last Tuesday. So honestly,
those matches with Axiom as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, bravo to all five guys here. Great stuff. And Wes retains. We go to our next match. We have Pretty Deadly discussing Stand and Deliver and they try to get a word with Carmelo, and instead Trick is there and says, like, you know, he doesn't have time for you.
I noticed after this, Pretty Deadly changed because they're like, oh, man, we're wearing the same thing as Trick today.
It was the sparkly.
They're wearing the sparkly black blazer with nothing underneath.
Right, so, yeah. What a look.
Which was a shame because I was going to rock that tonight for WrestleMania Night 1, but I can't have everyone wear this outfit on the same day.
No, it's okay. Thanks for the last-minute Shrek outfit last night.
Oh, yeah. Did you keep the ears?
Yeah, they're over there.
Did they survive? Nice.
Yeah, last minute, I was like, I don't have a Shrek costume. So last minute, Davey gave me mouse ears. And so I put sunglasses on and wore
them. With a Santa hat on it.
Yeah. So I did get a few like, what's with the Santa hat? I'm like, I didn't have anything.
It won't come off.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Our next match is a grudge match. It's an unsanctioned match, meaning it never happened, technically, sort of, kind of. It means NXT is not responsible for what happens in this next match. Grayson Waller taking on Shawn Michaels,
protégé,
surrogate wrestler, Johnny Gargano. So Grayson Waller has been feuding with Shawn Michaels. We were teased that Shawn was going to come out of retirement.
If they go the full way of that, where it can be, you know, Shawn Michaels feuding with AJ Styles for, all right, Johnny, have the match.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, let's
like,
do it.
Let's do the Sean Dream matches just with Johnny Gargano.
Yeah. Why not?
Perfect. I'm
fine absolutely.
With that.
I'm okay with that for sure. Yeah. So Johnny became the surrogate, like we said, where Sean's like, well, there's history. Basically, Waller's the one who sent Johnny out of NXT with the attack. We know Johnny loves Sean, they're boys. And, well, this is why this match is happening. But then Waller, always going live on Instagram, decided to visit Johnny at his home when Johnny wasn't there and beat him up on his front lawn. And then things got personal, and that's why it's this unsanctioned match. Mm. And Grayson Waller still manages to go on Instagram Live before this match. So I love the attention
to
detail.
It's not, I'll show you how to do it. You can go on your phone.
But I love, he walks down to the ring, and then he like put it down and left it there.
Yeah.
Like it was still on live for a while before I guess someone turned it off. But pretty funny. So Grayson Waller comes out to a sea of boos here. And before he does, while he's on the Instagram Live, he walks by Gorilla, and we see, I think, Sean and Matt Bloom. And he's kind of like, oh, is that your boy, huh, Johnny, huh? You think he's going to win, Sean? And kind of rough, like, making him a little angry here. Johnny Gargano, his music hits. I'm still not over the music change.
I feel this might be better than the first remix they did, but it's
this Rebel Heart.
Yeah.
Show me the way.
No one's going to do it for you.
Watch, in a year, I'll be like, number one Spotify rap, Rebel Heart, whatever it's called. No, it'll still be Battle Cry.
Yeah.
For me. Johnny's entrance here, we were wondering if he was going to come out dressed as Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
In Shawn gear. He was not. Can you explain this gear? They tried to say that it had like different elements of TakeOver.
So it was meant, I'll have to, Johnny's normally good at posting on his Instagram, everything broken down, but they said it's like all his big feuds in there. So there's references to Tommaso Ciampa. There's references to Finn Balor. Maybe Adam Cole, I'm trying to remember. And it's got the date of his NXT debut in there as well. So yeah, but it's also in this year's WrestleMania and Stand and Deliver colors, like the red and the gold, as always, look very fresh.
Yeah, he has the best gear, easily. Like, he always looks like a superstar. And it said TakeOver on it. This isn't a TakeOver, but Johnny TakeOver showing up here tonight for this unsanctioned match. I was definitely hyped. Mm. I think this is my last time ever doing one of these TakeOver things.
It should be.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need to, he's had his NXT, like, they have finished the story with this Waller thing. But now, once Mania's on, it's time to go with Johnny on Raw.
They did like his Rebel Heart logo, like does look a bit more Shawn Michaels-y in the Titantron.
It's got the Shawn like red and black zebra print.
Yeah. So Waller, Gargano, one-on-one, unsanctioned here. Johnny right away just flies at him, throwing a chair at Grayson Waller, and then just attacks him. As they're like brawling around the ring, really like fast start to this match here. Eventually, Waller like throws Johnny and they're fighting into the commentary table when Booker just goes flying.
Yeah.
Booker takes a bump here.
And he does that thing where, you know, when people fall over and they're embarrassed, so they just stay on the floor and make out that it hurt more than it did. Booker does that because he's down for a long time. I'm like, dude, you fell over for a living for 30 years.
He was just trying to do the spin-a-rooney, man. Yeah. Vic is like, yo, Booker, are you okay? Yo, Book, you good? Yo, Booker, are you okay? No, I'm not all right.
We've seen times before where like someone's like looked at Book and done the hand or the spin-a-rooney and he gets pissed. Or we've seen him get bumped into before where he gets pissed. And we're like, uh-oh, how's he going to be? He calmed himself down a little, but there was like half this match where he just wasn't talking. But I think there might have been an issue with the comms as well, because Vic was like, have I got you, Book?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, couldn't hear you for a sec there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I'm not sure. I mean, it's part of the like your job, right? Like this kind of stuff happens, but I mean, maybe a warning or whatever would be nice, but I'm sure he did. Maybe he's just playing the character.
But it was a really exciting start to this match. Just Johnny coming, throwing himself at him with these super kicks, like multiple suicide dives, all that. I thought it really like picked up the energy right away.
there's Waller trying to scare Vic after like that bump because he's boys with Johnny as well. Johnny goes for another tope to the other side, but this time Waller smacks him in midair with the trash can lid. Definitely reminding us of that old Jericho spot.
Royal Rumble.
There's then a setup of chairs on the outside, and Waller like superplexes, or is it Johnny who counters and superplexes him onto the chairs, like all set up ringside. This looked like
this
it
spot
hurt.
Always looks so painful.
Oh yeah. Then there's Johnny who's going for like his slingshots, but he gets hit with a drop kick from Waller here, like scouting him.
It's the knee that he used against Bron with the spear as well.
It looks
so
good.
He did it from that sling. I like that. It's like one of his big moves now.
Waller then tunes up the band to a sea of boos here in the Crypto Arena as he's taunting Shawn Michaels as he goes for it, but it's blocked. And then when they're like fighting over on the apron and the ropes, again, another crazy move where Gargano ends up hitting a destroyer onto the outside, which is just crazy.
This was crazy. It was like the rebound, like handspring off the ropes into, it was more of just a spike pile driver than a destroyer.
Like Heat Seeker almost?
Yeah, kind of like that, but on the floor. Looked great. Yeah. And Waller was down after this.
Waller is down, and Candice LeRae is holding Quill, is it? Their baby. Mm-hmm. And then she hands it over to like their family friend there, and Johnny's like, babe, get in here. So she hops the barricade. The crowd start to go mental. As was I was really into this. She grabs a kendo stick. And she just lets it rip. I know it was opening night for the MLB the other night, but Candice LeRae shooing for a home run.
Great shots.
She is
breaks
just
this thing in half.
Walloping this guy, and then he runs away, finally stopping. Like the kendo stick is broken at this point after the shots from her. But then Johnny meets him around the other side, and then he like takes it over and he starts beating him. Waller's back had like bumps and welts all over it after these spots. Johnny hits the one final beat in the ring, and Waller kicks out of it. Johnny's big move. He's won many a takeover matches with that. He doesn't know what to do. Somehow Waller gains control and hits his jumping unprettier on Johnny, but he kicks out of that. And then Waller sets up Johnny in the corner with a trash can and shades of WrestleMania 17, it's coast to coast. Waller hitting Shane O'Mac's big move.
But with the trash can on the head.
Right front. Oh, this was cool. But Johnny kicks out of that as well. And again, Waller's back just keeps getting more and more nasty looking as the match continues. There's then Waller who powerbombs Johnny just right through a table ringside, which is great. This table was just chilling here for a while.
He dived over it with his rolling stunner first and then powerbombed him.
Pretty sweet. Eventually he...
Which is, I know you hate that stunner.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's like to like jump over an obstacle kind of worked.
Yeah, he did it a few times in this match. He had different ways of hitting it in this match, which was pretty funny. Eventually he hits a low blow on Johnny and sends him in the ring and hits the running stunner, just like we said. But Johnny kick out returns, baby. Yeah. We know Johnny can kick out of anything, and he did right here. Waller is a little like flustered by this and doesn't know what to do. When Johnny gets to his feet, Johnny hits Waller with a low blow, returning the favor, and then grabs the chair. You know things were getting crazy when Johnny has that little like part of the steel chair we've seen him use. And
edges bit.
Yeah, that thing, right? Johnny then grabs a chair and puts the like mangled one around the neck of Grayson Waller, and Johnny steps up to plate here.
Johnny Evil, right?
Johnny Evil swings for the fences and sends one into the nosebleeds, meaning Waller's damn head. He hits the chair while it's around Waller's neck while he's standing, and then while Waller's just down and probably dead here, Gargano puts him in the Gargano Escape. And it was just that for Grayson Waller, as there won't be any shoeys for this Australian today as he taps out. Johnny Takeover, Johnny Wrestling, doing it for Sean, doing it for Candice and Quill, and doing it for NXT.
I thought this was really good. These WWE, I think when we're used to now watching AEW where they have like street fights and stuff, and we're used to all the blood and that, it's hard for WWE to live up to the violence in a kind of no blood semi-PG era. And I thought they did a really good job here of this not just feeling like a generic WWE hardcore street fight.
Right.
I thought there was some really like good spots here, like the chair spot around the head, the table on the outside. The Candice definitely with the kendo stick was a lot of fun. I think Waller's been fantastic, really since the build for the Bron feud, especially. But I think he's been great leading into this. Wonder if it's time to call him up after this defeat. The one thing, as like Johnny's kind of doing these nods to NXT past, I think it would have been cool if after the low blow, he revealed the cup that's been on his dining table for the last 3 years.
I'm hoping he put that away.
No, yeah. I just said, oh, big NXT match, better protect the balls. But yeah, I thought this lived up to like a Johnny Gargano,
yes,
NXT Big Show match for me, and I thought Waller absolutely held his own.
I really love this match, man. Johnny's one of my all-time favorites. I can't wait till they find out what they have with Johnny Gargano on the main roster and done properly. Hopefully, fingers crossed, but coming back here for this one like big NXT moment for this match, it made sense with the story with Waller like almost 2 years ago now with the attack sending Johnny away. So it kind of all came into like, it all made sense. And then, of course, when the actual bell rings, like Johnny, man, like he's so good. And Waller held his own up there with Johnny. Like, I know why they made it unsanctioned. It does kind of protect Waller against Johnny, who's like known for like being one of the most slickest working guys. So in a way, like it was able to match. But you said like Johnny Evil, like Johnny was teasing last week. He was wearing the symbiote logo I mentioned because he was so mad. So seeing his facial reactions, like seeing that Johnny is like really, really cool to see, because we've seen it with the Ciampa matches where he gets to like do these evil things to win. And he definitely did it here when he was ready to swing that chair at the final end, and then he did it and then makes him tap. He was like, you know, killer Johnny here.
Do you see Waller moving up?
Yeah, teaming with The Miz.
Well, I was going to say, like, could you have him cost Seth tonight? I think a Logan Paul Waller pair would feel kind of accurate as well, maybe. I don't know if they would debut him as soon as that, but it's an option you could go if you want Logan Paul to win, maybe.
Yeah.
I think he'd kill it if they put this iteration of Grayson Waller on the main roster.
Yeah, it would work.
Give this guy a mic. He'll be great.
Yeah, he showed me he can do Shane O'Mac style stuff.
Yeah.
He can get people to hate him.
Way to my heart there.
Yeah, you know? Like he's good. He's getting there. He's definitely becoming already. I think he's done in NXT now.
He should be. Like, unless you're going to have him
fight Sean
the title again, like, what's there to do? He kind of feels like he's had his main event run.
Yeah.
I'd move him up. This is the time to do it.
Yeah, I just hope post-WrestleMania season, Johnny is used in a proper... Just have stories. If you're not going to put him in championship stuff, whatever. But, like, have actual stories. I hope the reports of Triple H wanting to one-time main roster run of DIY is true. Just so that you can expand on that and have some big matches down the line just while we can. So
after the match, we had the reunited... The way.
Show me the way.
The way assemble.
This is the way.
Yeah.
In fact, because they all come out here. Candice, no Theory, but he's busy. He's getting ready for his match later. LA traffic. He wasn't risking it.
No.
So we have Candice, Indy with her title.
Yeah.
Dexter Lumis and Johnny all celebrating here. Kind of a great moment here. I love this. I love this match and I love this moment.
This might have been the least in... like gimmick I've seen Dexter Lumis, because he's just giving Johnny a big hug.
Yeah.
Like he's normally just, you know, the thumb, but he's like hugging Johnny and everything.
Love it.
What a beautiful moment.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend this match. This was one of my, this is going to be a tough one to beat for sure, because Johnny proven again and again and again, like he's great. I know there's the Johnny haters out there. I love this guy. So
yeah, me too.
I can't wait to see what he does on WWE products, because I think if done right, it can work. And the same for Waller, man. I used to really hate this guy, but now I love to hate this guy. Like he's doing the right things, and his wrestling has such improved. So definite highlight. I really can't tell you which match of the night, because I after that five way, I did not think we were getting
it. It's between those two.
Yeah.
For me, the five way was pretty special.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed this one as well. And this definitely, like these two matches, like took me back to the old, like pre-pandemic NXT WrestleMania weekend show.
It's that old
like
NXT.
It felt like that.
Black and with gold NXT. Yeah. Well, you say you want old NXT? How about some new NXT in all the ways possible? Meaning we got some witches taking on the team of the two people who can't coexist.
The country girl and the
businesswoman.
Businesswoman who does business.
Who also may be a cheater.
A cheater.
Dun, dun, dun.
And there was at ringside, there was a country boy in a beautiful purple velour shirt and ginger beer with pineapple and lime juice on the outside.
Yes. We're throwing a WrestleMania watch party tonight and tomorrow, and Davey made a cocktail menu, but you made some virgin cocktails, and we've mentioned you made the Brooks Jensen. And, well, Brooks Jensen, go follow his Twitter. He also posted a photo with the Great Muda, which is awesome.
Yeah, but he's having a hell of a week.
But he also retweeted us and says, hey, I'll have one. So shout out Brooks Jensen.
First said that was uncalled for.
But it's all love. All love. We're playing Freebird for you tonight. So for those maybe who...
I'll add it to the playlist now.
Yeah, make sure. On repeat. So for those not following NXT week to week, maybe you're just checking in on NXT because you're like, oh, you know, maybe it's good. And what's going on with that stuff? Let's fill you in on this storyline. Kiana James is a businesswoman who does business things, important business things. Where was G, by the way? She wasn't on the show.
She never comes out with
her. Yeah,
She's holding down the office.
Right.
You know?
I want to work in this office.
Big office business deals. Yeah.
So Kiana James is pretty much a businesswoman heel type character. She tried to screw over Fallon Henley by buying her bar, but due to wrestling matches and stuff, that bar stayed with the Fallon family or Fallon Henley's family. Apparently, it's also not the same bar. It may or may not be the same bar that Gallus hang out in from different angles. However, so Fallon hangs around with Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. Mm-hmm. And Brooks Jensen starts falling for, well, anything that has a pulse because he's a young 21-year-old virgin is the storyline.
It was Caden for quite a while.
Yeah.
He was into.
Never worked out. But he started hanging around Kiana and his friends were like, it's not going to work out. She's too good for you. And eventually he went on a date with her and things were going good. And then Fallon had the suspicion that Kiana was cheating on Brooks, that she even went into her office and found flowers and notes from someone named Sebastian. And we've never been revealed of who Sebastian. Kiana was supposed to explain and tell all.
Yeah.
Instead, she just smooched Brooks this week.
All I'm saying is they haven't rebranded Dragon Lee yet.
Sebastian Lee.
I think so.
I don't know.
He needs a good NXT story to kick things off. He didn't win the title.
Welcome to WWE,
so
pal.
So come into the Brooks and Kiana-verse.
The grassy days of our lives storylines. So anyway, so the two that can't coexist, they want to coexist here tonight for this match, but we're not sure. Like, Fallon is upset that Kiana hasn't told him the truth, even though she smooched him. So Kiana may or may not be two-timing Brooks Jensen here, the lover boy, as these champs come out in all purple. And again, long-term storytelling. I believe Brooks Jensen was wearing the shirt that Kiana gifted him like weeks or months ago.
Right. I do think you're right.
I think he was wearing that shirt. So attention to detail there. It's the little things in wrestling.
Is our country boy is known for wearing purple velour?
No, but I love, like, the gimmick is he's been like puppy dog love for her, and right? Like, like all about his, like, the first ever girl that's showing him attention. So in her entrance, she's got a purple purse and she makes him carry it for him. Yeah. We've all been there, fellas.
Yeah.
So you knew something was going to go down with this purse. So they make their entrance. Anyway, so I just explained in a nutshell the whole story with this. Their opponents, they're witches.
Yeah.
I think that can sum it up.
Yeah.
They
may or may not have been invisible one week. We still haven't quite worked that
out. There's no proof. Yeah, there's no proof, but they may or may not have been invisible.
Yeah.
But yeah, these two witches going up against Fallon Henley and Kiana James. I hope I did justice of the storyline.
I think so, yeah.
All right, so this match starts off here. While Kiana and Fallon are making their way, they're almost in the ring. Actually, it's Alba Fire who goes to jump off the top. Kiana pushes Fallon away to take the bullet for her, which is a good start to the match here as it starts pretty chaotic here to get the crowd kind of back on their side. side. This is when Vic Joseph and Booker are talking about the storyline and what's been going on with Kiana and how she may or may not be cheating on Brooks. And Booker T, you know, say what you will about Booker T and his commentary, but spitting out pure wisdom here for everyone listening and watching at home. He says, I mean, what did you expect? He's like, I've been in relationships. What do you think? What do you think, ladies, when you go through your man's phone, you're going to find something.
What makes this even funnier is this isn't the first time Booker T on NXT commentary has taught about
cheating relationships.
On his woman. Like, he's like, ah, it happens, you know?
King
like,
Book. Oh, man.
Bless him.
Yeah. Fallon somehow fights back when she's in the ring here with Isla Dawn and hits a flying blockbuster, which looked pretty cool here. Eventually, the witches keep tagging in and out, and they beat down on Fallon here, and they hit, which is sweet move. This should be their finisher. It's basically their two finishers put together. The gory bomb and the flatliner.
Yeah.
So the firebomb, flatliner, witch thing. It looked great, but Kiana breaks it up in the last second. So the match goes on. There's then like a doomsday device drop kick here from the champs here. And then a series of super kicks and near falls. And the witches keep kicking out. So Kiana's getting a little frustrated here. And she goes to Brooks, who's ringside, and she says, Brooks, I need you to give me my bag. Open my bag for me. And Briggs is like, no, we don't do that. That's cheating. We're not cheaters. Stop. And they both, Fallon and Briggs are like, no, stop. We don't need to do this. Which costs Kiana here because she turns around and she gets beat up and then hit with the backstabber, swanton bomb, firebomb combo. And we have new NXT Women Tag Champs. The witches reign over Kiana and Fallon here. But right as the pin was happening, Brooks tried to go in the ring to stop it, and Briggs held him down. So what's going on here? I mean, okay, great that we got new champs. Actually, Isla Dawn and Alba Fire are pretty good together, actually. I would see this as a team on the main roster easily. They both are pretty good workers and look the part of the witches. I love the gimmick now, like coming together with their outfits and stuff. It looks good. So I'm happy that they're champs. Makes sense. They can go on and defend against whatever teams we even have in NXT. But of course, the meat of the story is what's going on with this thing. Because Kiana was going to win. It's so now she's going to play it up like you.
So after the match, Brooks is like comforting Kiana, and she didn't do any pissed off at Brooks acting. She was like, she was disappointed. Yeah. So, I thought the match was good. I wouldn't say it's a match at the level of, you know, your previous NXT events that we've been used to.
Yeah.
But that's not to say it was bad. I think all four women are pretty good here. Fallon and Kiana included. I think Kiana's come a long way considering how long she's done this. But I do think when the end of a match happens and you're questioning what's next in the Kiana and Brooks saga, than going, holy shit, we've got new champions.
Right.
It's a comment on this title and this division. And that there isn't really these belts flip flop over so much. Like Kiana and Fallon haven't had them long. You're more interested in the story that is going on there, and they're going to drag that out, which I'm kind of glad about because I enjoy this story every week and dissecting the silliness of it.
Well, like he's dressed nice. Like maybe like she's trying to get them away from them. We still think there was the story of Fallon falling for him. It's like you're great. You know, CW dramas.
Unfolding. So what's next? I imagine Kiana starting to be like, you're not there for me, Brooks. And
yeah, she used to dump him. He cost her the title. I know she's the heel and they're supposed to be the baby faces, but she asked for her bag. She's going to reveal all I needed in my bag was...
I needed some water.
Yeah, something. It's going to be something else. Like I needed, you know, whatever. And he's going to go like, no, you're not...
going to propose to you.
He's gonna go, no, you're not a cheater. And Fallon's gonna go, yes, she is. And then Sebastian Lee comes.
Sebastian Lee.
Book it, Sean. Book it, Bloom. We go to our main event. Are you ready? It's two alpha males colliding here. The two guys of NXT. Carmelo Hayes, Braun Breaker, NXT champion, defending against Hayes. Braun comes out making his entrance. He didn't break anything. So no. You know what? Right away.
He's losing.
Yeah, I knew something was up.
I think his dad already broke the internet this weekend.
Yeah, his dad broke a lot of people's opinions.
Yeah.
Of this. I mean, hey, at least he's Braun Breaker, right? Why would they be so stupid to change his name now?
Yeah, like, so if you don't know what we're talking about, this was it yesterday at a convention, yeah. Which was actually International Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yesterday, yeah.
And Giselle Shaw posted on Twitter that Rick Steiner was basically shouting horrible things at her,
calling
her a man and stuff like that. Which is disgusting, especially in 2023. Jericho's then got involved saying that he's been a bully for years and that kind of thing. But yeah, just obviously there's no place for that today or anytime, yeah. Anywhere. Especially on a day that's meant to be like, you know, recognizing. And
yeah.
So shout out our trans listeners.
Absolutely. Definitely. I read that and was just like, what? What? Your son is wrestling on a WWE main event, his biggest match, and you decided, first of all, to say or think these horrible things. Then that now is the time to shout these things,
yeah.
In public.
Disgusting.
For people to hear and see, mm. And for to hurt someone like that. I think that is awful. So yeah. Obviously putting a bit of a like cloud over.
Yeah. His I mean, kid. Obviously Braun's not his dad.
Yeah, of course.
Probably thinks differently, yeah. I would hope. But. Yeah, it does kind of. It shouldn't be what people are talking about going into this match, you know.
Yeah. So again, Braun is his own person, and I'm just gonna say it's not gonna be like he's gonna come out and people are just booing him just because of this, right?
No.
People are gonna boo Braun because it's been the fun thing to do the past few weeks and months.
Maybe Joe Gacy should have kept him in that cage.
Yeah, Joe Gacy should have.
I mean, Joe Gacy's all about inclusion, right?
Joe Gacy knew.
He knew.
Oh, dude, he knew all those months.
Rewatch
back,
that.
Last
I'm
year.
Not rewatching that feud back. But
never
yeah.
Rewatching. Yeah, for those not sure, Joe Gacy kidnapped Rick Steiner like a year ago and
locked him in a cage.
Yeah, he should have threw that key away.
Mm.
Damn. So Braun comes out with a in your house, beware of dog.
Yeah.
Intro here. Dogface Gremlin, Braun Breaker. Don't call him Steiner. Carmelo Hayes actually had a pretty cool entrance here. He had Trick come out and cut a little promo and then had the jerseys in the rafters, yeah. Of all the people he's beaten here in NXT.
They've done it with a few times with Trick introducing him, and I think it works so well. And gives Trick his moment as well. I really like
that. Actually, right before their entrances, I should note that they did these like hallway walk things.
The championship
NXT
walk, yeah.
But like, for both, so they were in like different hallways, but both hallways like lit up amazing. Like wherever this venue was, looked awesome.
I mean, it's the old Staples Center, so it's a great venue.
Yeah, like Melo coming through the Lakers like hallway thing, yeah. Was pretty sick. And then
was Braun in the Clippers hallway then?
yeah, sure. Melo's had like Lakers gear, and the Titantron was like Carmelo Hayes in the Lakers font and everything, which is awesome and sick. But isn't he not from there? So you know it must have hurt him if he was, I think, I'm pretty sure he's from Boston.
Melo, I'd have to have a look.
So I
he doesn't sound like he's from Boston.
No, but I love this entrance with the Lakers, like
near Boston.
Yeah.
Massachusetts.
Braun should have came out wearing a Celtics jersey. That would be the heat there. So these two standing tall in the ring, face to face, NXT championship all on the line here. And they stare down when the bell rings. Not quite the Noah stare down from a while back, but they give a bit of a stare down, and then they start to go at it here.
It felt like they were trying to bring this crowd up. You know, like obviously they're not rocking Hogan, but have that moment where the crowd are like amped up and start cheering and start getting louder, and they look at the crowd. Crowd weren't quite there.
Yeah. Well, they eventually go at it, and they're going hold for hold and counter for counter. Melo goes for his like springboard clothesline, but actually slips up here, and it allows Braun to just like walk over so like stoically, like almost like, oh yeah. And then when Melo finally does go to hit the springboard again for the clothesline, Braun just no sells it, and Melo just drops down and is just gives this shocked face. and starts to taunt, like, because Melo was taunting him, so he taunts Melo here. I think the slip-up added to that whole interaction, and it was really great here, actually. And then Braun's just kind of, like, bullying him here and starts to taunt him. He does the, like, ballin' yeah. shot and everything. Braun eventually fires up and keeps knocking Hayes down. He hits the like, lift-up military press and then a standing, like, moonsault for a near fall. Melo does finally connect with the springboard clothesline. It is a thing of beauty, but Braun kicks out of it. Braun hits him with a backbreaker, and then Trick is up on the apron here, and the referee gets a little pissed, so the ref says, Trick, you are out of here.
Which got a big boo. This crowd did not want to see Trick Williams leave here.
So while Melo is talking to Trick on the outside, Braun runs the ropes and jumps to the outside with a huge tope con hilo, taking both of them out here. He does that pretty great. Back in the ring, Hayes eventually comes back. He hits his face buster, and then the suplex lift into a cutter, and then that sweet-looking, like, spider snap suplex thing he does in between the ropes. I don't even know what this is, but we've seen him do it a few times. It's great. But Braun kicks out. Melo has him up top, and Braun counters a superplex into a huge avalanche Frankensteiner. We'll call it a Frankenbreaker here tonight off the top rope, and that looked awesome. But the ref is down, and, well, Braun puts Melo in the breaker recliner, and Melo taps out. But the ref is down and doesn't see it. And this is when Trick runs back in here and nails Braun in the back with the title. And Hayes goes for the pin as the ref is back. It's a one. It's a two. But Braun kicks out. Hayes and him start going back at it again here. Eventually, Braun gets the best of him and overpowers Hayes, lifts him up with the military press. He's going for that power slam. But in midair, it's countered into a code breaker. This was a thing of beauty from Hayes here. He goes up top and hits the nothing but net, the flying, like, scissor kick.
Guillotine.
Yeah. A ref is up. He counts it. One, two, three.
They did that slow championship like Earl Hebner used to do in the day after he was knocked down. One, two, three.
And new NXT champion, Carmelo Hayes. Melo, don't miss. He has done it, beating Braun.
This didn't quite do it for me. I thought there were some cool spots. Obviously, both these guys are great athletes. I don't think Braun is necessarily the best opponent for Melo. I think Melo shines a lot more when he's in that North American mix. You know, your Ilias, your JDs, your Axioms, your Wesleys, that kind of group. I didn't think the match was bad, but I really didn't like the end. They've been pushing since this build that Melo is pretty much now a babyface. They built this as a babyface.
The whole feud, he was babyface for this feud, yeah.
The babyface match. It wasn't, to be fair to him. It has been Trick, who has been, like, you know, wanting to do some dirty tactics, and Melo's been kind of against it. So it wasn't Melo being heelish. I think the visual tap, though, is weak. That's something you see your chicken shit heels do, not the guy who you are now crowning as your guy of this company moving forward, ushering in a new era, you know, new challenges at the top of the card and everything. The visual tap just had me scratching my
backwards.
Head. Really, really bad. Like that is something, you know, a Grayson Waller does against Bron Breakker. Grayson would tap and then cheat and then win, not Melo. And therefore, it kind of taints his victory. I don't know if it's they're just scared of having Bron beaten, but we've seen Bron beaten. We've seen Ciampa beat Bron. We've seen Ziggler beat Bron. Like
Ziggler beat him last year at Stand and Deliver on this show.
If you're going to go all in on Melo, he should have had this win clean.
In the bag. Yeah.
So that kind of, like, sullied the match a little bit for me. And especially then afterwards, they do Bron giving the sign of respect. It's like, dude, you got screwed. You've been champion for over a year. You're the second longest reigning NXT champion in history. And you just had this guy's friend whack you in the back of the head with a heavy championship belt. And
you made him
lost.
Tap. And
now you're fist bumping him? Like, no.
Yeah, it felt backwards. It felt like the story of the few weeks going into it. It was only like a month of them promoing this. Like, we knew it was going to go to this, but the story was just him being a babyface. The promos for this match were all babyface. They'd never attacked each other, all that, this and that. So why finally go to that heel thing in the match. It's so backwards. These two are...
And Melo didn't play heel at all. So, which then makes me go, oh, are you now going to introduce, like, dissension between Melo and Trick? Which I don't think is the right thing to do, because I think they should... I don't want to see them feud together in NXT.
No, they're a hot act
A hot act together and will be great on the main roster together.
Yeah.
And I don't think match-wise, I don't think Trick is quite there to really have an interesting feud with Melo. So why do it? It was bizarre.
Yeah, this one didn't hit for me as much as I... It didn't live up to the hype. It didn't live up to, okay, to the biggest guys in NXT for the past few years. Since the changeover, these are the two biggest... dogs. And I don't know, there was something just didn't hit. It was that thing in between, like the tap and stuff, but
it meant the crowd didn't react in a way when Melo did eventually win. Like, there were cheers, but it wasn't as big as it should have been.
Yeah, it was a little flat, honestly. But I still love both these guys. I still see big things for them. I again see Braun leaving NXT now at this point. Like, him and the Diamond Mine guys should just be together. Him and the Creeds as a unit would be awesome. So move him up. Melo, so many different opportunities. I wish they just kept him heel at this point, but people are going to cheer him. So I guess that's why. But him versus, like, so many different people, fresh matchups there.
It's the same. I mean, I fully expect, and I'm going to date this podcast, but I fully expect Cody to win tomorrow for that reason. Like, Roman has run through everyone there is to face at this point. Cody as champion just opens up so many more different interesting matches, and that's what you got with Melo now as champ.
I love Carmelo Hayes. I definitely see big things for him in WWE, the same with Bron Breakker, but I was a little disappointed with this match. I still had some, it was still fine, but I was like, maybe it was my expectations of it were like hoping it was good, but overall this show is pretty good. Like, it had two really solid matches and the rest of it still was like all right. It was pretty decent. So
I enjoyed it. I think it's actually quite a nice time of the day to just sit down in the afternoon and just watch some wrestling. Had two killer matches, so I'm going to be high on a show
exactly
for that. And nothing, in my opinion, stunk up the joint either. So, I enjoyed it. I had fun with this one.
And Duke did not turn on Chase.
Duke didn't turn.
So we're fine.
He bleeds red and...
White. He bleeds red.
Bleeds red, yeah.
So that was Stand and Deliver. That's what we thought of the show here. There is a little bit of feedback over on our Poison Rana Facebook group. Find the page, but there's a group as well. We'll let you in, and we post up feedback threads on Tuesdays for NXT and for PLEs like this. I'm going to read one from Chris Price, our Wasnexpert over on the Patreon. He says, I'm at this show right now, and so far it's been electric. Johnny Wrestling and Wesley, stars of tonight. Let's see if the main event can top them. Would love to know what his thoughts are after that.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
thank you, Chris.
He's writing during the show.
Wow. Thank you, Chris. Chris is one of our – we do a show called Was Next. We do retro reviews. Chris always writes in every week and follows us with old retro NXT, so he knows his stuff.
Maybe Chris, if you're attending any of the accesses, you can get some – Was Next scoops for us for our end of 2013 show.
That's right.
We're gonna do.
Yeah, plant the seeds.
Yeah.
Some stories.
Yeah.
You know what to do, Chris.
Have a great time in LA, Chris. We go to Magan, who says, best NXT live show post Black and Gold? Yeah, I'd say so. It had surprises, thrills, and a motivated roster with something to prove. The five-way North American title match was excellent. Indy Hartwell finally getting her flowers gave me a guttural reaction of joy. Johnny Takeover got to put an end to his NXT story his way. The way reunion gave me a tingling feeling in my chest. And Carmelo Hayes got the Kobe number one over Jordan as the new NXT champion.
Nice.
I love how when back in the day when all the way stuff, we were going, this is so stupid. And now we're talking about tingling feelings in our chest when we see them reunite. Yeah.
And then we go to Andy, who writes in, everything on the show was very good to excellent. Ladder match, five-way, and the Gargano Waller were all top-notch. Awesome start for this WrestleMania weekend. Thank you, Andy. Thank you all for writing in. Thank you all for listening.
Oh, you got some more here.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah.
Oh, go for
it. Just give a little refresh.
Yeah.
We have Sean, who says, I really loved Stand and Deliver this year. Definitely best show of post-Black and Gold era. Everyone stepped up. The pre-show eight-man was no Matt Classic, but it was incredibly well done and entertaining. Ladder match was a pleasant surprise. Everyone got a chance to shine. Didn't see the result coming, but wasn't mad at it. I haven't been Indy's biggest fan, but she really stepped up in this match and deserves a chance to show what she can do. Tag match was solid and physical, and honestly, I thought Tony D looked the best of everyone overall. Yeah, we definitely noticed he stepped up here. I wonder if the Creeds move up. Women's tag was also solid and a great story. I have no words to describe the five-way match other than amazing. Wes is a made man, and that North American title scene looks like it'll be fire for a while. The unsanctioned match gets my vote as best match of the show and will be hard to top this weekend. It was nice to see Johnny and Candice deliver like we know they can, and Waller look the best he ever has. Thought the main event was great, but it was never going to top the five-way and the unsanctioned. If this is the end of Bron, then Godspeed. You're a great champion, and you held this brand up when all anyone wanted to do was tear it down. I hope he gets a great opportunity on the main roster. That said, I am looking forward to Melo as champ. Like in Black and Gold days, NXT threw down the gauntlet this afternoon. Let's see the main roster can top it tonight.
Thank you, Sean. That was a whirlwind. And then finally, we go to Nazimul, who writes in, "This show was awesome. That five-way could have been match of the night on any takeover back in the day. The whole show flew by. I still can't commit to 2 hours of weekly TV, but I certainly won't be missing these NXT PLEs going forward." I almost called it takeover. "Also, your WrestleMania preview show was awesome. Massive shame I can't be in Toronto tonight. Next one in NYC. One can hope."
Well, Nazimul, you know what you can do if you can't commit to 2 hours a week. You can listen to us tell you what matches of the 2 hours you can watch.
Yes,
every week.
We usually cherry pick some good stuff on Tuesday nights when we watch NXT. But yes, thank you everyone for writing in and everyone listening there. We will do one in NYC. And thank you. Yeah, we did a WrestleMania preview show. Thank you. Over on our Poisonrana feed. So we do a lot of other shows on there as well. But I enjoyed watching TakeOver or so. Still doing it.
Yeah.
It's forever. It's because Johnny
did have Johnny TakeOver on his gear. Exactly. So it was a TakeOver as far as I'm concerned.
We stood, we delivered, we talked about it. We will be back Tuesday night for the Hangover edition, the Stand and Hangover, Hang and Deliver show on Tuesday night. But Monday we'll go live on our feed talking all about the rest of this weekend. We're going to get ready for our WrestleMania parties over in the city right now. Can't wait to see all you fine people, and we just hope everyone's having a lovely WrestleMania weekend.
Absolutely. And yes, it is true. Vince McMahon mustache confirmed.
I thought you were lying. I thought it was fake, but it's real.
As someone put in the group, I'm going to highlight Raja here. "Have you guys seen the photo of Vince's new look? Each of you has more gray hair than he does now. Amazing mustache and new facelift too." Yep.
Is this like, I don't know, I can't decide if he's Gomez Adams or like Vincent Price. I don't know what's doing.
Kind of, yeah, both of like them are right.
Weird.
Are accurate.
He's like, no one will recognize
me
now.
It's the hair dye that gets me, because I'm like, dude, you've been gray as long as I've been watching you on TV.
Yeah, he's always had gray hair.
So now you just decide?
Yeah.
At the age of 77, you're going to...
Midlife crisis.
I fucking hope it's not a midlife crisis. Got way too long of this shit.
But Vince mustache is real. It's not an April Fool's joke. It was legit real. So things with AI, like I don't know if that picture with the Pope
maybe
in that jacket
or
not
just
real.
A new Vince McMahon. It's an AI, and for whatever AI reason, Vince. All we can do is him with a mustache and dyed hair. Okay, have you removed the sexual harassment from him? Yeah, that's gone from his programming. Right. Okay, that's good then.
I mean, you're adding a mustache. He looks more sketchy or creepier than ever.
Well, maybe it's a warning thing. You know, like
warning. Stay away from this fucking person.
Venomous snakes look scary because they're venomous. It's like, yeah, he looks like a creep now to warn you off because he is a creep. I don't know.
I mean, he's rich enough to have, like, real-life AI. Yeah. Like, maybe that's why he looks that way.
We're on the post feed here. We've got to be careful with what
we say. Shout out Vince McMahon's mustache. Yes. Not shout out Vince, not but shout out Vince. His mustache for sure. Shout out all you people listening to us. Thank you very much. Poison Rana is a feed. You can check us out. All the other stuff. Patreon.com/PoisonRana as well for all the other podcasts. We just did reviews of WrestleMania 11, WrestleMania 19, some movie reviews up there. The next month's going to be pretty crazy with this month just kicking off. So I know WH is going to join us for a great Muto. Not great Muta.
KG Muda. KG Mudo. Yes.
Yeah, I'm getting confused now. Yeah, he's going to join us for that.
The great Muto is his new WWE
name. Yeah, because he's not retired. He hasn't retired in the States.
As the great Muta. Oh, it's the great Muto, has he?
PoisonRana.ca for everything there. Thank you, guys. Happy WrestleMania. At PoisonRanaPod, Twitter, Instagram. Go follow us. We have a new Instagram account since Instagram deleted ours, and we only have, like, 200 followers.
It'll be fun to watch tonight. Absolutely. Yeah.
Go follow us. Yeah. Give us a follow. I myself, Brayden Harrington, Twitter, Instagram, at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And happy wrestling, y'all.
Ahoy!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.